So, welcome to the Health First Radio Show.
Hi.
Your book, The Letters from the Yoga Masters, is just an amazing book with so much wisdom. And you've been at this yoga for so long. How long have you been involved with yoga?
44 years.
And how did this all start, Marion?
Back in the 70s, I was looking to find a yoga teacher, and it wasn't so easy back then as it is today. In fact, I think it's more complicated today because you have so many choices.
And at what point did you figure out that this was truly your life's calling? It wasn't just a bit of exercise.
I don't think that was really the case until I ended up going and studying to be a teacher. So I had been practicing gymnastics and ballet in my youth, and then when I really was looking to learn how to meditate. I didn't know that yoga involved bodily postures. I just knew it involved meditation. So through my search to find someone to teach me how to meditate, I discovered someone who would teach me how to do yoga poses.
And who was this Harry Dickman? Your book has got wonderful stories about this man. How did you find him?
Yeah, what a blessing that was. I was traveling in Australia. I was 21 years old at the time, and I came across the International Yoga Teachers Association, who they did have a yoga teacher training program, but it was pretty impossible for me to stay in Australia for that length of time to take the training. And they, through people in their organization, I was led to write Dr. Hari Dickman a letter and see if he would teach me. Now, he was originally from Latvia, and then after the war, he was brought to United States by Paramahansa Yogananda, and he was living in California at the time that I got in touch with him in the 70s.
And how long did you study under him?
Well, not that long, really. Most of his life was studying through correspondence, through these letters, and so that's how we started. I asked him if I could study with him, and he said he was 80 years old and didn't really want to take on any new students at the time, but I could write him letters and ask him all the questions that I wanted, and in exchange, send him chocolate in the mail, and he would answer my questions.
That sounds like a fair deal.
Yeah, that was a pretty good deal. So for about 2 years, we were writing back and forth, and he would say to me, "You're not asking me enough questions." But I think what the problem was is that I didn't really know what to ask because I had no knowledge base yet. So at one point, he suggested I go study with Swami Vishnu Devananda. And so he gave me addresses to follow through on that. So in 1978, I went and studied in the ashram in the Bahamas. And on the way there, I stopped and met Dr. Hari Dickman in person. And Hari was such a sweet, sweet man. When I met him, we just really, truly connected. So then after I went to the ashram and was coming back to California, then he invited me to study with him. Now we could talk on a different level. I had a whole different vocabulary and a
Right.
foundation of practices, so he could pass on some of the deeper teachings.
Can you explain a bit of ashram life to our listeners?
Sure. When I studied in the ashram, it really was living the yoga in all aspects. So not just going to a yoga class for an hour or an hour and a half and then carrying on with life. We got up early in the morning, about 5:30, would go to the temple for morning meditation, and then from there we would go and have an asana class in another space that was larger, and then have breakfast about 10 in the morning. We did chores, which they would call karma yoga, or selfless service. So after breakfast, we all did some chores, and then we went back to It was an open-air temple, a sitting area where we would sit, and then we would study philosophical lessons for several hours, and then have another asana class in the afternoon, go and have dinner, more chores to wrap up after that, and then go back to the temple again for evening meditation and discussion, and then go to bed between 10 and 11 o'clock at night.
So you learned early on that yoga was much, much more than just the postures.
Yes, it really was. And we were doing the breathing techniques and really talking about how the mind works and you know, a good half-hour meditation every morning and half-hour meditation every evening. We would chant songs, sing songs together and share the food together and do the chores together. And that was all considered aspects of yoga, different pathways of yoga.
And can you tell us about these eight limbs of yoga that you write about in your book?
Right, yeah. So the first two limbs are called yamas and niyamas, and they're basically our daily habits. You know, brushing our teeth, having a shower, and then moving into things like telling the truth, really speaking the truth, being kind to others, nonviolence, moderation in all things, not too much, not too little. Those kinds of aspects, making sure you do some spiritual study every day. So spiritual study isn't necessarily all about reading spiritual books, but also studying yourself by going inward, so self-study, to learn about the spirit within. Mm-hmm. And so there's these eight different limbs. Those two limbs right there are just your daily activities and the way you think, kind of like the Ten Commandments of yoga, the ethics of yoga. Mm-hmm. And then yoga postures is the next one. So to keep your body fit and healthy is the purpose behind those, so that you're working the systems of the body, the muscles are lengthened and strengthened, and the bones are kept strong, and the circulation is going. So it's all about the health of the body with the yoga postures. And then breathing techniques. So pranayama is what's that's called. And that's about your life force. In martial arts, it's called chi or ki. And in yoga, it's called prana. So it's the control of the prana, which is really a key to calming the mind and preparation to lead you to a quieter mind for introspection and meditation.
So all that work just to quiet our minds.
Yeah, quiet our mind. That's not always that easy. But if we regulate our breathing and slow it down, it will slow down our mind at the same time. And then we can think more clearly. There's more oxygen to the brain. And we can resolve any of those daily issues in a little easier pattern just by regulating the breath. But regulating the breath is much more than that, too. It's regulating our whole life force. So some yogis believe that we have a certain number of breaths, and if we're stressed, we breathe more quickly. Mm-hmm. And if we're relaxed, we breathe more slowly. So we use up less of those breaths.
That's right. In your book, one of the quotes from Swami Sivananda was that the paths are many, but the truth is one. Can you explain that?
Yes, Swami Sivananda was a unique yoga teacher or yoga master in that he was initiated into the yoga path by his guru and only had one day with his guru. So many people who have a yoga master that they study with would spend a lifetime with them or many, many years. He just had one day. So he ended up studying many different pathways of yoga from many different yoga masters, and he realized that there's all these different pathways are leading to the same thing, to our creator, for us to know our source, our God, our creator. And so he kind of coined that phrase, the paths are many, but the truth is one. No matter which pathway we choose, whether it's yoga or one of the variety of yoga pathways, or if it's our pathway of faith or whichever it is, as long as we're aiming to know our Creator, our God, then that pathway will take you there, and not to judge others for the pathways that they take.
Wonderful. One of the pieces of Harry's advice in the book was, you must not think that you cannot reach higher states of realization, for this is not so. The more you meditate and earnestly seek God, the more you will realize this. Book learning cannot give the realization, but deep communication can produce these higher states of consciousness. Never cease to believe that you will find God, for without faith, little may be accomplished. Believe that He is with you, guiding your footsteps along whatever path He has set before you, and meditate long and deeply. Read less and meditate more, for then you will understand many things that books cannot impart to you. What wonderful wisdom that you had downloaded from Harry.
Yes, he was so amazing and highly renowned for his knowledge, too. Many of the yoga masters in India did consider him a yoga master as well. Swami Shivananda called him the Yogi of the West. Mm-hmm. He was very, very highly regarded there and very adept because of that. I mean, we can read and read as much as we want, but if we don't put it into practice, we won't reap all those beautiful benefits that are waiting for us.
Absolutely. And it's not part of your book, but you shared before that after Harry's death, you actually walked from Mexico to Canada. This is not something that's easy to do, but the path and the strength that you put into it to follow what you believe to be doing. And can you share how you got that much energy and strength and focus at such a young age?
Yes, I think I couldn't do it now, but, you know, my sister and I were always avid hikers in our youth, and we were very, very connected, really, you know, close together. And so she had come across the Pacific Crest Trail guidebooks and knowledge of it back in the 70s, and so we thought, well, let's plan to do this. And we planned to do it in two legs, 4 months to do California and Oregon, and then the next year to start in Canada from Manning Park and head back down and go halfway through Oregon again, because we just thought we might as well stretch it out to be 2 months. So I would, for me, really, the yoga was a huge part of that. On that particular hike, because we did another hike along the Continental Divide in 1983, after that one, some of the greatest learnings that we learned is start slow and set reasonable goals along the way. I think you can translate this into your yoga practice too. Mm-hmm. Set reasonable, achievable goals. So, you know, we started with about 8 miles a day on the hikes, and then gradually as our bodies adapted and became stronger and more adapted to altitude, then we could increase to where at one point we did 25 miles in a day. We're pretty short women. Both of us are under 4 feet tall, so that we have short legs, many more steps than somebody else. And the mental aspect of it was really a big part, to have that faith every day that you're going to find a safe place to camp and that you'll find water along the way, and that we can do it. And that was a real transition for me, because I had pretty low self-esteem at that time in my age. I didn't know yet who I was, really, and so by accomplishing hiking from Mexico to Canada twice, actually, it made me realize that I can do whatever I really want to set out to do in this lifetime. And so it's a good, it was a very good foundation for me to get in my 20s.
Wonderful. There's so many yoga books out there right now, and this Letters from the Yoga Masters is such a jewel that, I mean, if you buy a copy, you could ponder it the rest of your life. It's not just like an easy read novel. There's so much in it. Where can our listeners buy this book if they really want to know what yoga really is?
It's distributed by Penguin Random House, and so it's available pretty much anywhere on all the online bookstores, Chapters, Amazon, the Book Depository, and any local bookstores that will order it. I get them to order it in as well. So online and in local bookstores, it should be readily available for anyone to buy.
Okay. And yeah. do you have a web page, or do you have for people to follow along?
I do. You can find more information about my book at soyayoga.com, soyayoga.com, and then look under the link for Muggs's book, and it will then tell you the information there, and also links to the online bookstores to purchase it.
Okay. And you and your husband have been running a teacher's program, the Soy Teachers Program for Yoga, for many years now. And now that you're an author, do you see your life changing and moving in different directions?
I do, actually, Cassie. It's so exciting for me to teach the multitude of techniques in this book, because they're techniques that are not the normal techniques that you see everywhere. There's wonderful different pranayamas and meditations. It's not an asana book per se, because there's lots of those out there. But it's so exciting to bring these different techniques to life for me, that I'm hoping to spend much more time teaching those techniques. And I'm actually going to Latvia this fall.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you going to meet some of Harry's family?
Not his family, actually, but a group of people who are, who've been studying the Latvian Yoga Society that Harry was the president of before the Second World War in the 1930s, and they're creating a documentary about the Latvian Yoga Society. So I'll be participating in the work on that documentary this September.
That will be fascinating when it's available. We'll all want to be watching that.
Yes.
So we'll be watching for lots of new things coming out in your work and your journey of yoga.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the show today, Marian. It was just a real joy to hear from you.
Thank you so much. And if anyone has any questions and they want to email me, they can find my email on the website, soyayoga.com, or it's muggs@soyayoga.com. And I'm happy to share the information.
Thanks again for being on the Health First Radio.